have no relationships to disclose. Solving problems around housing and education have become increasingly more complicated, and the strategies used to resolve those issues have to have the same level of complexity. Coalitions must address systemic issues, be holistic but also strategic in their planning, be data-driven, all the while being mindful of current political landscape. Boston Alliance for Community Health is a partnership of Boston neighborhood coalitions, hospitals, health centers, and other nonprofit groups working to achieve health equity. And while addressing health inequities, we use a cross-sector collaborations and have racially and ethnically diverse partnerships with our coalitions and residents. So the presentation today will be broken down into three different areas. First, I will define and compare broad-based and issue-based and broad-based coalitions, and also discuss some key elements of cross-sector collaborations using a pretty traditional framework, but I will pay close attention to areas that reflect multi-ethnic groups. And finally, I will discuss these coalitions and their ability to reduce health inequities. So coalitions are a group of individuals and organizations with similar values that come together to address specific problems or issues using systemic issues, to reach a particular set of goals. They can occur at all levels of society, so they can be at the community level or the government level. But for the purposes of this discussion, I'm going to really talk about community level coalitions because they're really about building power from below and empowering residents to be part of the change. So you can either have more loose associations, such as working together to address problems with the landlord around housing, or they could be more solidified coalitions, such as more long-term goals as to end poverty. And this kind of outlines the major difference between the two types of coalitions. Issue-based is usually direct action with immediate concrete changes, so you're trying to win a specific victory, while broad-based coalitions are usually formed to build community capacity and empower residents. So you're usually addressing overarching goals like improving quality of life and empower residents. So they both kind of work in a systems of change, and this probably is familiar to many of you. But as we move along a spectrum from direct service to direct action, we see that there is a difference between individual change and social change. And direct service agencies are usually more complacent with the way things are, so they usually accept the existing power relationship. And direct action is challenging the existing power relationship. But it's not to say that a person can't move along the spectrum. So, for example, as an individual, I may take an educational course on racial justice, and I may have a personal it may personally impact me, so I, as an individual, change and can have deeper reflection on how I combat racism. But I could also be moved to be part of the bigger issue and work to address systemic racism. So organizations usually stick to a certain area. Agencies are less likely to do direct action, but coalitions and broad-based coalitions sort of give them the opportunity to participate in direct action. And it's also not to say that these are two separate pieces, but they're all part of one spectrum. So I'm going to kind of outline four key elements of coalitions in general and highlight the difference between issue and broad-based. So I'm going to go through this somewhat quickly. Purpose is obviously, the focus and the goal of the coalition. Issue-based usually focuses on short-term temporary goals, so you have a very specific issue that you're working to address, such as We're going to pass this legislation in the next 6 months. So when you're trying to work with different organizations, they have a clear understanding of what their goal is, how long they're going to be participating. So it's usually easier to recruit people to participate for X amount of time. Whereas broad-based is usually more long-term and permanent, and the purpose is about building power. So as an organizer, you need to really consider how you're going to recruit members to join. And this tends to be a more asset-based approach, whereas with issue-based, you're saying, okay, we need to pass this legislation, who do I need to be part of this, and how will I go about getting them? Whereas with broad-based, you're saying, we have these unique qualities in our neighborhood, how can we capitalize on that? Another key part is infrastructure, and it's really about what the structure of the coalition will be. Issue-based usually tends to have a lead organizer, and members come representing organizations directly. They usually come with the main goal already addressed and laid out, and their goal is to really figure out what the tactics are to achieve that goal. Where broad-based is usually more shared leadership, actually includes more individual residents than just organizational representation, and they're more likely to have guiding principles and establish their goals along the way. So people usually come with clear roles and responsibilities to a broad-based coalition. So if they're from the housing sector, they know that they are there to represent that organization, that piece. Whereas for issue-based, there are more clear goals, and the people participating, their organization is like already directly aligned with the goals of, you know, for example, achieving that legislation. And self-interest is also an important part because, it's often understood as, you know, selfishness, but it's really about the time and value that a person's putting into a coalition. So as I already kind of highlighted, an organization who participates in an issue-based coalition has obvious organizational gains because they know exactly why they're participating, for how long, and, you know, they know what the resources they need to participate in that. Whereas for broad-based, there's usually more personal gains. You're building relationships between organizations, and you often have to redefine self-interest so that people stay interested and they continue to participate in the long haul of the coalition's work. And the last piece is power. Obviously your ability to address any system of change has to do with power. Issue-based usually has limited groups of organizations that are very committed, and broad-based has more empowered residents that are committed. And so funding also plays an important role in that because usually there's a lead organizer with issue-based, and there are clear goals, so it can be easier to obtain funding. And for power-based coalitions, funding usually supports the community capacity, so you may have more difficulty obtaining funding, and it's really more about having more individual power. So you don't also want to be misled by funding, because the real power comes from how empowered the people in the group are. And so there are many citywide and statewide advocacy issues that really do like multi-sector, broad-based coalitions. So the funding does come along to broad-based coalitions as well. So I'm just going to talk a little bit about the community that I work in. So North Dorchester is the most populous neighborhood in Boston. Over 80% of the people are of color, with representation from different ethnic groups such as Cape Verdean, Vietnamese, Haitian, Jamaican, other Caribbean groups, Puerto Rican, Colombian, for Latino groups. And they have, you know, high rates of chronic disease such as obesity and heart disease. They are impacted by systemic racism and poor socioeconomic conditions, which leads to higher rates of STIs, more mental health issues, things like that. A really interesting report, the 2013 Health of Boston's Children Report, asked parents and caregivers to what extent they agree with three questions. People in this neighborhood help each other out. We watch out for each other's children in this neighborhood, and if my child were outside playing and got hurt or scared, there are adults nearby whom I trust to help my child. And North Dorchester, out of the 15 neighborhoods that they separated Boston into, had the fourth lowest percentage, and it demonstrates that there's a lack of trust in the community and poor cohesion. But when you look at more qualitative data in the community, residents actually report a strong sense of community, especially amongst their ethnic group. So as I was working in the North Dorchester community to formulate this coalition, it became clear that the neighborhoods were working in isolation, and each neighborhood kind of had their own ethnic majority, but they weren't crossing paths. And so the coalition really wanted to focus on the cultural diversity in the community while addressing some of the more systemic issues. So we've been going along for about 18 months. We're pretty much still in our forming stage, but we're really focused on building social cohesion in the neighborhood. Between four of the neighborhoods, there's seven sub-neighborhoods, but we're working with four of them. That includes Bowdoin Geneva Fields Corner, Grove Hall, and Upham's Corner. We realize that there still needs to be a lot of education done in the community, and so we're really trying to build our base by educating residents so that they can be part of the change that we're trying to create. So we have, you know, two initiatives that we're working on. One is around chlamydia outreach, which is North Dorchester has the highest rate of chlamydia. There's a lot of discussion around sexual health, and we're also doing a Peacekeepers initiative, which works to have youth be mediators in the community, and it's also an educational tool for older groups. Boston was a recipient for the Partners in Community Health grant from the CDC, and North Dorchester is one of the target neighborhoods, so we're really acting as a tool to connect with the grassroots groups in the community to do work around nutrition and healthy living. So this is a pretty standard method for coalition building, these 10 elements. And they're obviously all very important to having a successful coalition, but for the purpose of multi-ethnic coalitions, I'm going to just focus on the first four because they're really a key part of having a strong foundation and a multi-ethnic cross-neighborhood coalition. So I'm going to talk about the identify key partners and involve diverse groups together because they really do build off of each other. You obviously want to recruit the right people and be very strategic in who your partnerships are with limited resources. So the focus of our coalition was really around culture and capitalizing on the diversity in the community. And so the challenge for us was really to articulate self-interest to cultural organizations. So VietAid is a community development corporation in Boston. They're in Fields Corner. They have a strong emphasis on the Vietnamese community. But they are very focused on the work in that neighborhood and tend to not work with their neighboring groups, even though they're actually located less than, I'd say, 100 yards from another neighborhood. And so it was very difficult to articulate why it's valuable for them to participate in such a broad-based coalition. Their focus is on economic development and housing, obviously. But there was a real need to connect them with the other communities and to sort of empower the Vietnamese community to be part of health discussions and think more broadly about their outcomes. And when you look at specific data in North Dorchester for the Asian community, you don't notice the high rates of chronic disease amongst the Vietnamese community. But when you look specifically at their local health center, Dorchester House, they have high rates of heart disease, higher rates of obesity that are increasing. And so it's really important to capture that ethnic-specific data. So partnering with VietAid is an important way to connect with that broader coalition. With the broader ethnic group. So strengthening partnerships is also an important part because you really want to have strong networks and build social capital. in a way that we can leverage power to do the systemic changes that we're trying to have. And so when you, in a broad-based coalition, you're really trying to build strong partnerships. So people are working together, not only in the, for the coalition's work, but outside of the coalition's work. And so the challenge really becomes, how do you strengthen individual organizations so that they benefit from their participation in the coalition? We worked with the Dorchester Cares Coalition, which is basically an agency-driven coalition to engage residents in services and to improve coordination of services within the community. But they really wanted to do more macro issues and saw this as a way to connect with larger advocates in Boston. So, you know, we've had a really successful partnership. Four of their members, and hopefully four more, will participate in our leadership development training. They're beginning to access new funding sources through our connections and really working on larger citywide advocacy instead of thinking about just how they can connect with family services better, but thinking about the real systemic problems in their community. And then lastly, building leadership is an important piece for multi-ethnic coalitions because you're more likely to work with immigrant populations, more likely to work with people that are not speaking, that English isn't their first language, but you want them to participate in the things going on in their community. And you want to have collective empowerment. So as I mentioned, the ethnic groups are very close with, are very connected with each other. But so there's like a strong sense of cultural identity and empowerment and a strong sense of connection with their group when they come to this country. But the challenge in engaging non-English speaking immigrants is really how we can sort of separate them from their cultural group to the sense that they kind of platform themselves as an individual to share their story in our advocacy work. So we are working with the Cape Verdean Community Unidos, which is an advocacy group that does a lot of work around immigration. And it tends to be more around you know, connecting them with immigrants, going through the immigration process, English as a second language classes. So we're actually trying to weave the discussions around the educational pieces, such as around racial inequities and the health, social determinants of health and what health inequities are, into their immigration classes, as well as their ESL programs that they offer to the community, which is another way to connect them to the larger coalition's work. So the implications for reducing health inequities, how do multi-ethnic coalitions actually work to achieve health equity? Using an asset-based approach strengthens neighborhood cohesion. Both individuals and groups become more connected with the community and empowered to be part of the change. Strong multi-sector partnerships can impact also social determinants of health, and we really want to have that diverse expertise in the group. Developing ethnically diverse leadership increases community resiliency. Leadership development, especially amongst immigrant groups, is needed to build the capacity and really get the data that we need for to represent the different ethnic groups specifically, and also to sustain the coalition work. So it's the data piece is also really important because we are very good at collecting quantitative data, but for different ethnic groups, the best way to do that is through more qualitative research. So the public health system needs to really allow space for us to have more ethnic diversity in the data collection. And in engaging immigrants in the public health system in that way, we will be reducing health, working to reduce health inequities. So just to kind of conclude, coalitions can be an important tool to empower and mobilize residents, and clearly having strong member organizations is helpful because we're doing work that no single organization can do on their own. And broad-based coalitions allow flexibility for immigrant groups to find their voice and be part of the change in their community. And lastly, engaging those that are underserved has a major impact on reducing inequities between neighborhoods and across city lines, and to really create long-standing social change.